I am just so happy to be here. It has been a long time. But I am so happy for you all. You have the most beautiful and pleasant chapel. And it just is cheerful. And I'm going to tell you that Sarah, she sort of wanted to come here. And in my heart, I did too. So it worked out, you know, and we... I was going to text Brother Danny and say, I'm coming to warm by your fire. And as I started to text, I felt like the Lord said, don't text that. Tell him you're going to minister. And I had nothing. So that's what I texted. But I believe the Lord wants to meet with us. And I just feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. And my heart is just very touched to be here with you. what I am having him put on the board is something that Brother Michael Smith put in one of his papers, I don't know, maybe a year ago. But as I looked at this chart, I was very affected. It has not left me. And this is what came back to my mind for here this morning. And it won't be entirely about this, but you know, what I feel that the Lord is trying to do to all of us is to awaken us to reality, to the Word of God. What we know is the truth. The Scripture plainly tells us that many are called and only few are chosen. And I'm thinking, just looking across the little congregation here, the Scripture says for us not to despise the day of small things. And we're in the day of small things. And if we think otherwise, we will become discouraged. We will even begin to look elsewhere and think that numbers has something to do with it more than the quality of the lives that are wanting to live for God. So I want to say to you this morning, don't be discouraged. We're a small congregation too. And so I understand. I'm going to say this to Paul and Natasha. They were once, well, she was. She was part of our congregation. And I just grieved when she left. And I just had this real desire for them to move back to Oklahoma City after they were married and be a part of our congregation. But you know, I looked around this morning sitting behind them and I said, I wouldn't ask them to leave here for anything. This is where they are needed. And so I'm going to say to you, you stay here and you be a part of this little congregation and you do what you can to promote this little congregation and the Spirit of the Lord in it. So I'm going to start out a little bit with just some facts, real facts. And then I hope that we will all just let our minds just be settled into where we are on the scope of time. You know, you can look at Church of God preaching. You can look at all of the titles, the subjects that are preached on, and I have to say, we are biding time. We're just enduring it to the end. And I think the end is not too far away, but other generations have thought that too. And they have preached that. And they have lived and they have died. And it has come down to this age. So, thank you. I appreciate it. I want to give some thoughts that I have had in the past. I hope you won't feel this is a warmed over message. I don't feel that way. It may be, have been given to me before, but I felt re-inspired. And you know that the coming of the Lord is going to be in the twinkle of an eye. And you know that we cannot measure 1 second. Because once we try to measure 1 second, it will be far gone. And we can't even fathom the twinkle or the blink of an eye. There's no time for you and me to pray in the twinkle of an eye. We have to be prayed up. And we have to be ready before the coming of the Lord, because it will be at the sound of the trump. You know these things. We will be at a moment when we think least about it. And our lives are so busy right now, we seldom stop and think, what if it is today? My mother told me that I looked for the coming of the Lord even as a child. I've looked for the coming of the Lord my whole life, even when I wasn't ready, because it made me serious in my thoughts. But I'm still looking for the coming of the Lord. And it is going to happen. And I may not take time to read all of the scriptures about it, but over in Peter it plainly tells us that we're not to be ignorant. It tells us that the Lord will come. He will come. Though he has not come, we're not to be ignorant of this fact. Trying to look here at some of my notes that sort of gave me the measurement of time. Somebody tried to give eternity in the measure of time. And I'm going to ask you this. Do you think that there is time in eternity? There is. In the minds and in the hearts and in those that are lost, they're measuring time. But it's time without end. So time, they might be saying, Lord, well, I've read a tract about this. Lord, I've been here X number of years. We'll say 20 years. Isn't that enough? They're measuring time. In heaven, there's no measurement of time. We will enjoy it for all eternity. And so how long is eternity? And the measurement of time for those who are lost? We can't do it in 1 second, so we're going to do it in 60 seconds. And I cannot find my formula here that came up with this. But nonetheless, it should say something. For 60 seconds, 60 seconds is 1 minute. It is equal to 30,660 quintrillion years. Our minds can't even understand quintillion. But that's in relationship to eternity in a lost condition. They'll measure time. And in 60 seconds, it will seem like that. Does that affect us? You know, we read these kind of things and maybe it shakes us a little bit and we go on and we forget it. I think we need to be reminded time in eternity is long without end. Oh, that's why it's so important for us to be ready today. Thank the Lord we can be. Okay, our little chart up here also. I have some other facts I want to give to you. I'm going to give you the mortality rate. And when I give this and when I think of it, it's not just for me to think of others, but it is to think of others. but it's for me to think of myself. We have a scripture, and it's in two or three times in the passage in the Old Testament, and it says, except these three men be in the land, they can but save their own souls. What does that say to you? I'll tell you what it says to me. I'm the only one that can be responsible for my life. I'm going to be the one that will answer to God for me. It goes on and it says they cannot save their children. They can't save anybody else. We know we can carry a burden for our children. We know we can carry a burden for the lost. And this should help us to have a greater burden for the lost, because time is running out. The Lord is going to come back, and eternity, which is equal to this, beyond our comprehension. And so we do carry a burden for the lost and for our lost loved ones. We will always, we should always. But the bottom line, the common denominator in my life is me. And that's not selfish. That's simply reality, that God is saying, you're going to answer to me. Nobody else is going to be there to testify for you. And you can be lost. Can preachers be lost? They're not going to be saved because they are a preacher. They're going to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. They're going to be saved because they yielded to the saving power of Jesus Christ. And that alone, I remember hearing Brother Souter tell about Brother Austis Wilson's father. I did not know him, but I think Brother Souter knew him. He was a very godly man from the testimony that I have heard. And so he comes down to the end of his life, and some of the saints were coming in and visiting him and encouraging him, and they were saying, oh, Brother Wilson, your life, and they started praising his life, and he said, no, I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. He only pled the blood, and that's all that you and I can plead for in our life when we come to the end. So we can't hold up our works and say, oh, Lord, look what I've done. And isn't that the scene of the end when he divided the goats from the sheep and he said, you did this. When did we do that? And it was equally the same to those that were lost. You didn't do this. But Lord, when did we see you in prison? And when did we see you? But they didn't do it. It's going to be, the bottom line is, I did it. You did it. We do it. So, let's talk a little bit about the mortality rate of the world. Do you know the population of the world, of the whole world? 7.8 billion people. I can't even comprehend that. That's how many people are in the world. That was the, I don't know, maybe before COVID. I think these were all before COVID, but nonetheless, they'll say something to us. Every year, worldwide, 65 million people die. Now, that's not considering how many are born every minute. The world is filling up one way and going out another. You and I have been here a while. I've been here a while. I'm at the threshold of eternity, in reality, according to my age. I'm standing there waiting. It goes down to 178,000 each day. And then 7,425 per hour. While we have been here since, you've been here since about 9:30, and it's been 2 hours, double that. That's how many people have gone out into eternity, either lost or saved. There's not a little middle ground there. In other words, there's not a purgatory that I can go to and wait for someone to pray me out. Oh, God, isn't that a deceitful thing? There's no middle place here. It's either heaven or hell. And then it says there, it comes down to 120 per minute. 60 seconds. 120 people go out into eternity. Does that affect us? We don't think about these things, but I think we should. I think we should realize our mortality, that I am headed for that place. It's appointed. It's appointed unto each one of us that we are going to die. Oh, I know this probably sounds morbid, but let's turn it into positives. Let's cause this to be a challenge to us daily, to live every day as though it were my last, and to live every day as though I'm going to live 100 years. Both ways, we can be the winner. Thank the Lord. So those were some little statistics I just sort of wanted to give you today and hope that you can remember them. And the chart should be a reality to us of how many are on the broad way that leads to destruction. The chart should be a challenge to us that I'm not discouraged that there's only a few. I want to be one of the few. So that is sort of a part of our little thought this morning. But what we want to do is help us to be very conscious of the peril of this time. I really believe, I know, I don't just believe it, I know it. We are in the most perilous time spiritually of all history of time. I look at little children, and that's not to say don't go have children. I believe God wants life to go on. I believe He wants us to enjoy our children and our families always. I'm not preaching a doctrine of let's cut off having children because of the wickedness of this world. He said that where sin doth abound, what happens? Grace doth much more abound. It's in my choice. And we raise our little children and we teach them from the beginning of their learning about God and about Jesus and about salvation. And He hung on the cross. Our children learn it pretty early in life and what it means, and what it means for Him to resurrect when He resurrected. And so our children have hope. If we have hope, my grandchildren have hope. If I continue in hope. And my great-grandchildren, I've got to keep that hope for my great-grandchildren. So I'm thinking of the scripture over in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. And at the side of my, in the margin, it has a little heading there. And you know what it says? It says it's the marks of the last days. Now, that was written over 2,000 years ago. I suppose it was written then. But Jesus tried to prepare not only the people of his day and his time, but he left it for us, for it to come down to us, that we too can be prepared and have knowledge and understanding of the marks of this age. You know, with each generation in the past, I'm going to say my grandparents' generation, my parents' generation, and I didn't know any further back than that, and yet I grew up in the Church of God hearing these kind of messages. The Lord is coming again. And we believed it. There were those that believed it, and there were those that were ignorant. And they said, "Where is the promise of his coming? We've heard this all of our life, and he still hasn't come." There's people that will still say that today. But the marks of his coming identifies something. And of course, the first thing it identifies, let me turn over here to that passage. It identifies the peril of our age. And it is called perilous times. Oh, we might say, it is perilous. Look at the wars, and look at this, and look at Russia, and look at, you know what? I don't let my mind dwell on those things too much, because I don't want it to affect me spiritually. I don't want to get my eyes on the failings of our whole world in the way that they have made laws, changed laws. And the scripture says that's what they will do in the last days. They will change the laws and the times. We've never been in a time where there's been more changing of laws. That doesn't make it right. I still feel sorry for our younger generation. The things they will face is far beyond what we ever dreamed. It never crossed our mind that a person might change their gender or think they should be this gender or that gender. Never did we ever think of something like that. But we do now. Whether we believe in it or whether we don't, we're faced with those kind of confusing spirits in the world. And it's going out and changing how the schools are teaching, the things they are presenting. It is changing society to the point that those that are running for offices and leadership positions in our country can't speak against them or they'll be ostracized. Isn't that true? And we look at that and we say, this is perilous. But I want to tell you, there's something more perilous than that. It's the work of Satan that is permeating the whole air. I want to say, I would say maybe not your generation, but I know your generation, the younger generation here, has probably not known anything else but cell phones. And I didn't get a cell phone for many, many, many years. I didn't have a computer for many years. I was scared to death of one when I did get it. And then somebody said, and I, in a lot of ways, I'm self-taught on the computer. And it's for this reason. Somebody said, I want to tell you something. That computer is man-made. And it can be fixed if you break it. And I said, well, okay. And I wasn't afraid then to get in there and make mistakes and everything. I had to teach myself. Well, that's just me. But I'm the same way on my phone, you know. I just got a new phone. I learned a lot at my age that I didn't know even 10 years ago with my phone. But the telephone and the computer is changing the peril of our spiritual lives. And I find it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. So I may be naming some things, and it may not affect you at all, but maybe it will warn you. Maybe it will make you aware, because, you know, you're looking at me and you're saying, a 77-year-old woman is having a problem with that? Yes. The devil doesn't care what our age is. I remember when I got saved. Oh, let me look at the time. I asked Sarah to pray. I wouldn't say too much. I've been trying to cut it down, because people, they get overloaded. And I get started and I don't know when to quit. But when I got saved at Monarch, and let's see, Teresa and Jan had gotten saved, and I wasn't. Lauren wasn't saved. They got saved at the Guthrie meeting, and I'm standing back, and I'm one of those that held on to the seat and wept like a baby but wouldn't yield. And here my little girls were wanting to be saved. The Lord really dealt with me from then on. And at the Monarch meeting, we were going to be there one night. Lauren didn't go to the service that night, but the girls wanted to. I went with them, stood at the back. The message was given. I knew it was for me. I would have left. I want to tell you, I would have left. I'm not sure where I would have been today, but a big rain came, and you know the rains at Monarch, and you couldn't leave. And I'm standing back there, and I'm weeping, and Brother Stover, he had been our pastor when we married, and he came back, and he talked to me. And that doesn't happen very often today. People sort of are turned off of others coming and saying, don't you want to come and be saved? But it didn't turn me off. He talked me into going to the altar when I really wasn't wanting to. That doesn't happen. I get down to the altar. A number of ministers are praying with me. Probably their wives too, I'm not sure. I want to get up and leave. They won't let me. That doesn't happen today. And so I said, I'd quit crying. I said, it won't matter if I get saved, because I'm one of those that's predestined to be lost. You know what they did? They laid hands on me and rebuked that thing. Well, I got saved. I went back in the camper and crawled up in the bed and cried like a baby, and Lauren knew I got saved. And I was miserable. We left, went on a camping trip, and I mean, Lauren hadn't been saved for many years, and anytime I tried, you know, I just would give up the Lord for him. And all of that. And so he took the girls for a walk one day, and I got down before the Lord in that camper, and I said, Lord, I can't live like this. I've got to have something more. And the Spirit of the Lord came down in that camper, and he spoke to me, and he said, you can love Lauren all you want. Just love me the most. And it was my first victory. And I never gave up. I thank the Lord for those ministers that had the wisdom to know how to work with me. That's what we need today. We need ministers that are wise. to work with those that are coming to an altar in utter confusion and deception sometimes. But that's what the Lord did for me. And I praise Him because I could be somewhere else. Lorne and I could have been divorced. But God was good. And He saved my soul. And I'm one of those few. I believe you're one of the few. But we're not going to be discouraged, are we? We've got our eyes set for heaven, don't we? And our eternal goal of eternal life. Thank the Lord. So the marks of the last days. And I don't intend to comment on every one of these. That's your job. Go home and think about it. But in these days, men will love themselves. And they'll be covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy. And they will not have natural affection, and we see that. And also there'll be truce breakers and false accusers and incontinent and fierce and despisers of those that are good and traitors and heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God and having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Any of those affect you? Most of those will not affect us. But I see two of them that will. Loving pleasure. Loving entertainment. You know, I can drive down the road, down the street, and maybe look in the window at night. You know, it shows up, the lights in the house, and you can see a big screen TV. And the people are sitting and looking at it, asleep spiritually. That thing has a way of numbing our very mind. It can nearly kill our spirit. Numb it. It's so numb I don't even feel it. I've got my mind on this. I remember the time we had a TV. I remember how it drew me. I was addicted to television. Do you know when I did my housework? During commercials. A commercial would come on and I'd run and do housework until it came back on. I wanted to watch it all the time. Why? It held, you know what the word entertain means? It means holding you within. Something has come into the eyes and it has held these things in your mind and in your heart so much that you're not thinking, well, like me, I did my housework during a commercial. I need to go do my housework and then watch. No, I had to keep it on. I know people personally, related to some, that keeps their television on 24 hours a day beside their bed. They don't want to wake up without the noise of that. Do you think that it's easy for them to hear the voice of the Lord? What is the voice of the Lord? How do we determine the voice of the Lord? It is a very quiet, a still, small voice. I have to be seeking for it. I have to be praying, Lord, make me sensitive to your voice that I may know it. in order for me to hear it. The voice of the Lord is still in the world. The scripture says, because of the hardness of men's hearts, his spirit will withdraw. But if my spirit is yearning for his spirit, he will hear me. He will come. There's another aspect of the last days that we don't hear about very often, and it's just come to my mind, so I'm not going to be able to turn and read it to you. But it's in Revelations and it's in the Old Testament. And you know what it says? It says that we would be like a woman forsaken. It says it in the Old Testament. Another place, I think it's in the same chapter, it says that he would be silent for a short time. Over in Revelations, it speaks about maybe the end of time, close to the end of time. It says there's silence in heaven for the space of half an hour, I think it says. What does that all mean to our age? I believe that we're going to go through some time we just can't hardly hear the voice of the Lord. We can't hardly know he's there. We have to walk by faith. That's why Jesus said, don't you walk by your feelings. Don't you walk by your sight. You walk by faith. If ever there is a time you and I need faith, it is now. And it's not going to just happen because you say it needs to happen. You're going to have to seek the Lord and say, Lord, increase my faith. The disciples did. And they were walking right with him. And they still felt that they needed their faith increased. And I feel that way. I feel like I am needing more faith today than ever before in my life. There's a scripture that I wrote down, and I'm not going by my notes too much today. So I'm going to have to sort of look for some of these scriptures. There's some good scriptures. Be patient with me just a little bit, because I think I wrote this whole verse down. Oh, this is it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. This is what it says. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I don't know what you get out of that, and I don't think I'm far off in what I get out of it. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to ask Brother Danny after church to correct me for no confusion. But you know what? There's a lot of things that are not sinful in this world that can be lawful for me to partake of. I mean, my phone can be lawful. My computer can be lawful. It's what I do with it. It's how far I go with it. What I allow on it. I have my phone nearly with me all day long. It's my only phone at home. I'm by myself, you know, so I have my phone right handy all the time. I have my phone beside my bed when I go to bed at night. Maybe you do too. Charging, whatever. But you know, I'm giving a little confession here. But it's how the Lord deals with us. We can just fall into these things that can be lawful. And the last part of this is, I will not be brought under the power. And I'm going to add this, of that which is lawful. this thing, if it's done in moderation, it may be okay. Now, I'm not saying that for you to be justified in something God's dealing with you about. You listen to the Spirit of God who is trying to get you to heaven. So don't use any of this to justify yourself. I must not. I must not justify myself just because somebody else can do it or somebody else can't do it. Since Lorne died, I don't even turn on the radio. My house is silent. I mean, I have Sarah and the boys will come over and you know, I have noise, but overall, and it will soon be 2 years. The second year has been worse than the first year. And I began, well, somebody told me, you know, there's audiobooks. Is audiobooks sinful? Well, they can be, depending on what you choose to listen to. And actually, I looked on the audiobooks, and you know, 99% of the books I wouldn't listen to anyway, but there's some. So I thought, well, that will help me, you know, that will... everything won't be so silent all the time. And so I did some audio. I joined a group that somebody else had told me to join and told me some books to listen to. And I'm not condemning anybody. Please understand. And I began to crave listening to a book. Reading a book is not... it can be lawful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, amen.
It's what we do, how far we go, where we put limitations on myself. So I'm doing these books, and they're good books. There's nothing wrong with the books I'm listening to. I became concerned about the time involved. I was wanting to listen to them until I went to sleep at night. And what was missing? The word of the Lord. Am I putting you under an accusation or a bondage? You can't ever listen to an audiobook. No, I'm not doing that. Let the Spirit of the Lord guide you. And minister to you and correct you where you need correction. Because if He corrects you, that means you're His child. He says it. I correct my sons and my daughters. Otherwise, I'll just leave you alone and you'll be... and I hate the word that it even says in the Bible, and I'm not going to use it. Illegitimate. I'll say it that way. So this scripture should awaken us. So, okay, I decided, well, I'm going to not listen to the books very much or at all. I pretty well shut them down. And then I'm still so alone and silent and all of that. And I don't know how this came up, but it'll come up on your phone. Documentaries. Are they lawful? Well, most documentaries are true, based on facts, can be good. And you know what attracted me? Airplane crashes. There's many documentaries on airplane crashes. But I didn't want to see those that they all died. I wanted to see the airplane crashes that survived and everybody lived. And oh, I would just get so thrilled about it, and I would be thanking the Lord, and I would be seeing how God was so merciful. But I went too far. I was filling too much of my time again. God is calling for us, for me. Let me be the center of your life. Let me fill that emptiness, that void. And I think that's the call for all of us. I think that's why it's such a parallel of time. Because there, and I think what I've done is probably very innocent compared to what could be done and what is done by a lot of the world. God forbid that we would ever cross those lines. But, you know, it's so important that we hear the voice of the Lord, especially now. Especially now. I see that as the greatest, one of the greatest dangers for the saints of God. That they can be swept up and almost consumed with something that appears to be lawful. So Lord, give us wisdom to know how. The other thing that I see is a great danger is having just a form of godliness. And I'm sure for every generation that's been a peril. I'm sure that all of the generations that have come and gone and preached the Word of God and preached it to the many. I mean, we had more than we have today. Oh, you say, well, we go to Monarch and it's a pretty big crowd, but that's from a lot of different places. See, we don't have the many that we once had. And there's another danger about the many. And it is in a parable. I got to finish this and then I'll go on to the next thing about the danger. But you and I can get sleepy, neglectful, so easily in this age. And we will find ourselves in a form. We need to be warned. Be careful. Be sensitive that you not fall into a form of godliness. Because when you do, you're denying the power of that salvation to keep you. So those are the three, the perilous times, the lovers of pleasure, and the form of godliness. And now, I want to go to, I'll just talk about it, rather than read the time. We're getting away from time. It's in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And it is the parable that Jesus gave. I'll turn there and read parts of it. Jesus taught in a lot of parables. He wanted us to understand. He didn't just come right out and say, in the end, there's going to be 10 virgins and five will make it and five won't. He went into details as to why they wouldn't. And as it is, to me, this is the most serious parable that he gave concerning the church. This one in the 13th chapter. And it has to do with, you know the parable, you're familiar. He said, this is like the kingdom of heaven. And he said, there was good seed sowed in a field. And then there was, the blade came up and it sprung up. And then there, the enemy came. And he sowed tares among the wheat. And did you ever study about tares? I don't have all my information right here, but I've studied it. tares can look like wheat. But tares is poison. When it becomes mature and produces its fruit, it is poison. It is not wheat. It is nowhere near wheat. It cannot make bread. If you make bread with it, you will get poisoned. Now that's the truth. So here we have the enemy comes and he sows the tares among the wheat. And the servants came and said, "What shall we do? Shall we root up the tares?" And he said, "Don't do it. You will tear up the wheat when you pull up the tares." He said, "Let them grow together." That's what I see as such a great danger and peril of the Church of God today. And I'm going to insert this. And I don't want to sound judgmental. I don't feel that I am. But you and I, God gives us discernment. He gives us a spirit of discernment. And he also says, you can judge fruit. But don't let it, how shall I say it? Don't let it change you. Don't let, you know, you can become a tear. Don't change.
Amen.
Live what God has, the light he gives you. Walk in the light and hold on to the truth and love those that are tares. Be an example. You may win them in the church. I'm sorry, but I see it as one of the greatest dangers of the end time is this parable. Jesus gave the full meaning of this parable. He said in the meaning, he said the field is the world. And if I studied it in Matthew Henry, and he said the world is the visible church scattered over the world. So the church is involved in this thing. And he plainly said in verse 39 of that chapter, the harvest is the end of time.
Yes.
I can't change that. That tells me this is the conditions that's going to happen in the church of God as you and I know it, as we come down to the end of time. And unless we have our vision. What does the scripture say about vision? Without it, we perish. We must keep a clear vision. As you pray for yourself, Lord, help me to be clear in my vision. I'll tell you some other way to pray, to add to your prayers. Lord, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be blind. Don't let me believe a lie about myself. Pray for yourself. I want you to be one of those few that's on the narrow way that leads to life, eternal life. I'm going to stop there. I thank the Lord. I praise him to be with you today. I may never be back. You know, we don't know. We don't know the future. We don't know what a day will bring forth. But I want to thank him for allowing us to be with your little congregation. And I ask that you pray for me. I don't want any of this to slip in at my age. I may not have that long, I want to be ready. And I believe each one of you want to be ready. We can be ready. So let's pray for one another. And let's pray for the church.
Amen.
Don't forget to pray for the church of God. Amen.